Hi, I'm Cameron, and I just read comics. I love them. Welcome back to another episode of Cameron Reads Comics. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about The Power of Shazam, Book 1 by Jerry Ordway and, I'd say, Peter Krause. This series collects Power of Shazam, the original graphic novel, which is actually really kind of tough to find, which is written and illustrated by Jerry Ordway, and then that spins out into an ongoing series called Power of Shazam. And that this collects issues number 1 through 12. So there's actually kind of like, this is a hearty book. It says it retails for $49.99. And I do think you do get your money's worth. For context, I love Captain Marvel. Like, and not Shazam. I like Shazam, but I love Captain Marvel. I think he's one of the most beloved DC characters of all time. And he captures the spirit of comics themselves as they were originally meant to be. And he also captures the Golden Age, like, so masterfully, and I think he does this better than actually any other character. There's only a select few that I think really capture the Golden Age. I don't think Captain America does in the same way that Captain Marvel does, and I'd say the only other one I think of when I actually really do think of the Golden Age is, like, Namor, which is really interesting, but that's me. That's my affinity for this character comes from all of, like, those sentimental Golden Age feelings. Now, for accessibility, I wanted to go into a little bit of Captain Marvel, Shazam character history, because it's complicated. Now, in the Golden Age of comics, there was obviously DC, and they were coming out books, obviously Batman, Superman, those were the titans of that generation. You know, they had Alan Scott Green Lantern, they had a couple other characters that were, like, popular, but Superman was, like, selling above all in the Golden Age, which is World War II era comics. And then from in that wave of heroes being created, you know, you see a lot of Superman adjacent or parallel kind of characters. Fawcett Comics comes up with Captain Marvel in the Golden Age. So Fawcett Comics also, like, they were an imprint, so they had other characters, and the other characters include Bullet Man, Minuteman, Spy Smasher, and Ibis the Invincible. These aren't super well-known characters, obviously. I think a couple of them. I was familiar with Bullet Man and Bullet Girl. And then Spy Smasher is actually... You see a lot of, like, nods to Spy Smasher in the comics. But their most famous character was obviously Captain Marvel. Billy Batson, 10-year-old boy, declares the word Shazam and becomes Captain Marvel. Shazam is an acronym, and it changes all the time, but it's Wisdom of Solomon, Strength of Hercules, something Achilles, I would assume, Zeus, Atlas, Mercury. I think that is it, because it's, like, Speed of Mercury, Strength of... I don't know if it's Strength of Atlas or Strength of Hercules. I know for a fact it's Wisdom of Solomon. I know it's Hercules for sure. Zeus, obviously. Anyways, we'll figure it out. But what happens, though, is... that character becomes more successful and starts outselling Superman in the 40s. DC Comics sues Fawcett Comics because it's, you know, they're like, you ripped off our character. And now especially you're selling better than our character. So that's an issue. DC sued and DC won the lawsuit. Fawcett wasn't allowed to print any more stories of Captain Marvel, which is, like, pretty sad. Fawcett went bankrupt in the 70s, and so DC buys the license of Fawcett Comics in 1972. But because this ongoing legal battle and all this drama had happened, DC, like, doesn't know what to do with the character. So they get him back in 1972. They start an ongoing series, but in 1967, Marvel Comics had come out with their own character called Captain Marvel, M-A-R-V-E-L-L, Marvel, if you're familiar with that character. They had come out with him, and so the branding and the trademark is just, like, all gone, you know? And so DC starts marketing this character as Shazam, not by title all the time, but, like, the title of the book. The character in this run, even, is Captain Marvel. It's not Shazam. Then eventually, obviously, we get the New 52. He goes by Shazam. They don't really kind of call him Captain Marvel anymore. Anyways, there's your accessibility. I guess, long story short, this is a little bit of character history for you. This book is an origin story. So it collects Power of Shazam, the origin story. All you really need is to read that, and you can kind of get the idea of the character. There's a lot of origins of this character. I can think of three off the top of my head that have come out since this. And that's not even including the original, so four. Now, let's go into the story. The story is written by Jerry Ordway, who is one of the most, I'd argue, one of the greatest creators. And I think when you're talking about a Golden Age character, I think Jerry Ordway's art lends itself so perfectly to this character in particular because it's so timeless. He writes and illustrates the graphic novel Power of Shazam. Key details in this origin, Marilyn and C.C. Batson are Billy's parents, and they are on an archaeology trip with a man named Theo Adam, and the entire trip is funded by Thaddeus Savannah. Theo Adam, who acquires a scarab on this trip, gives him powers, Black Adam, and he kills Marilyn and C.C. Batson. So you have already a Black Adam, who's a modern-day guy, not any of the Khandaq, no mention of Khandaq in this story. You have Black Adam who kills Billy's parents. And then he also kills Mary Bromfield's parents. That's going to be important later. Thaddeus Savannah is a very important character. He goes by Dr. Savannah. That's his, you know, title in the stories before this. And he is a Lex Luthor type businessman. Billy, cut into the future, works at Wiz Radio, which is really fun because his first appearance was in Wiz Comics. There you go. I like love all those little details. I adore. I love it. And they also live in Fawcett City, which is my favorite thing ever because I just, and his name's C.C. Batson, named after co-creator of Captain Marvel, C.C. Beck. See, it just gets more and more fun. Now for the characters. This has my favorite Shazam family. And so here they are. Billy Batson, who is Captain Marvel. There's Mary Bromfield, who is Mary Marvel and Billy's sister. Freddie Freeman, who is one of Billy's friends, and he becomes Captain Marvel Jr. The cool thing about Captain Marvel, or Freddie Freeman, is that in the comics, like they do it differently now. He just has to say Shazam to get his powers. But in this series, and it's his actual origin, he just says Captain Marvel. And that's how he gets his powers, which I think is so cool because he's Captain Marvel Jr. I love them. This is just like, it's so good. Then two characters who I just like ran. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why, but I absolutely love Uncle Dudley, who is the janitor at Billy's school. And so it's not actually Uncle Dudley. It's just Dudley. And he is the janitor at Billy's school. He eventually, even in this volume, gets the powers of Shazam, which is awesome. And then Takitani, who is a talking tiger friend of theirs. I just love him. He's just a tiger who wears a suit. And you just like, what up, guys? And I'm like, yes. It's fun and it's silly. And it doesn't take itself too seriously, you know. I don't need dark and brooding comics all the time. This is just fun. But there are also stakes, which is so well done. For the villains, you know, in this volume specifically, you have Black Adam, who's a main player in Billy and Mary's origin, obviously. Dr. Thaddeus Savannah, super important. You have the Arson Fiend, who's a new character. He had a couple issues in this arc, pretty good. That's where the Power of Shazam ongoing series starts. Actually, I'd say one of my second favorite, maybe third favorite, Captain Marvel villain, Captain Nazi, which is a nod to, I don't think this character could work anymore, unfortunately. He's a scientific experiment who is a Nazi, and he wears a big swastika on his chest. It doesn't work anymore, you know, that'd be really bad, but he is really important to Freddie Freeman's origin. And then this series also introduces a character who I'd never experienced before. Her name is Blaze, and she is the daughter of the Wizard Shazam. I think we might see some of that. I don't know too much about the new Shazam movie. I don't know any of those characters, but we might see some of that in, hopefully, I think Blaze, like, giving context to the Wizard Shazam. Really, really, really cool. So I really like that. All those arcs and characters are really interesting. Now, just overall, I want to talk about this volume itself. It largely revolves around the origins of the Shazam family. So you're getting a lot of that kind of information, and there's some villains, but they're peripheral if they're new. You know, if you're familiar with them, they tie in really nicely. I think some of the new guys are like, cool, but it didn't do much for me. You know, Arson Fiend, cool arc, but I was just way more glad to see Captain Marvel on a page. How they interact with these villains and how they get their powers are intertwined, which is really cool. I really like all the layers that they give this. I think that's it sets Jerry Ordway apart from a lot of other creators. What makes this series extra special for me, though, and I really want to give props to Jerry Ordway and even Peter Krause, it's a love letter to Fawcett Comics, which is, I don't think we've seen again. You know, I think with all these reboots of Shazam, I think we lost kind of some of the Fawcett Comics of it all, which is the fun. So the Fawcett characters are generally overlooked. But they are powerhouse characters. And in this series, what I love is all those characters I mentioned earlier get to pop up, which got me so freaking pumped. It was, you know, we see all of them. Their relationships to the other characters are cool. It's pretty brief, but hopefully we see them again. Honestly, like, I really like Bullet Man. Like, and I just like his look. I just like his, like, vintage. I think in a world where we can have the JSA still be the JSA, I think the Fawcett characters, like, I just want them to have their own team book. And, like, I would see Invincible interacting with even Dr. Fate could be so cool. And just, like, stuff like that. Like, Spy Smasher is a cool character, and we have not seen anything. If Peacemaker can have his own series, Spy Smasher could have a 6-issue mini. It'd be awesome. And for me, it's just, like, valuable comic history. Now, for the art, Jerry Ordway did all the covers in this series, and then he also did the all the art for the original Shazam graphic novel. I think that Ordway is one of the best artists in the industry, and his style is so, like, so polished. It has, like, such a Kurt Swan influence. I think if you're looking at Gary Frank, or even, I'd say, Francisco Francavilla, stuff, like, their styles are so influenced by Ordway. And he's a titan. So, like, what he's done in the biz is so cool. So his art is so welcome here. It's wonderful. But my shining star in this series is Peter Krause, because he does all the interior, and I think a lot of people, rightfully so, do give credit to Ordway for this book, but I think he draws, like, the most perfectly lighthearted toned Shazam book, because, you know, it's up to his interpretation. And big shout out to Mike Manley, too, who does the inks. They complement each other very, very, very well. But I just adored Peter Krause's art. I just thought, there's so many pages in there I just want to screenshot, because they're so vibrant and, like, so fun. Like, there's a great page of Mary Marvel's transformation, some beautiful sequences of Billy flying. Black Adam doesn't look like the regular Black Adam. He looks so very, very different as we know him, and he's changed in the mid-2000s, but I really adored it. So the art in this book's, they're great. I think both artists just are perfect tens, I'll say it right here on the mic. I love them. So now we're at the rating. I really love this story, so I think I'm going to give my rating as a 9.5 out of 10. I don't want to go super deep into this book, because I think that it's a perfect 10. Actually, did I say 9.5? I'm just going to give it a 10 now. I think it's necessary DC reading. Like, for this is the definitive run on this character, all right? Geoff Johns did some really great work with Shazam, and actually it's because of his series in the New 52 that I even picked this up and read it. But if you want to know anything about these characters, this is the best place. It's a comic that means a lot to me. So I highly, highly, highly recommend, for a character that's so underserved, to have such a solid, solid run. It's awesome. So go pick it up. If you have read this, clap those like and subscribe buttons and drop me a comment. Please let me know what you thought about this book, because I want to hear about it. And I want to talk about it more. Volume 2 actually just came out at the time I'm recording this, so I'm going to go pick that up and read it too, because I loved this, and I'm antsy to get another one. So, my name's Cameron. I don't just read comics. I love them. See you next time.